We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, on Twitter at Ryan Recker. You can listen to the show and download it by going to KMOX.com/ONA or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts, like the radio.com podcast. All right, we're going to hook up with our friend Dave Scott in about 10 minutes from now. And I wanted to ask him about his thoughts of walking among aliens. Are there aliens walking this planet? There is a astronaut from the UK that says, oh, it wouldn't surprise me. I think they love stories like this, the ones that are into ufology. And he certainly is. So we're going to hook up with him in about 10 minutes and get his thoughts on that. I always respect his opinion on it. He looks at it like a journalist. And I love having conversations because he is able to break these things down so much better than anyone else can. So I want to give you just an update and catch you up where we are. In the last couple of hours, we've been talking much about what happened in Iraq when it comes to the missile attacks of Iran. How about I just give you a CBS News update? And this pretty much runs down exactly where we're at the moment.
Still no official report on casualties and damage. This following a ballistic missile attack by Iran aimed at two Iraqi air bases housing American troops. What will the U.S. do now? Here's CBS's David Martin.
The question really is the retaliatory strike going to be limited in scope to just the missile base, for instance, which fired these missiles, or is it going to be a much broader attack which goes after headquarters of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, for instance, since that is the military unit that launched these strikes.
On Capitol Hill, CBS's Natalie Brand.
Speaker Pelosi actually found out when she was handed a note during a regularly scheduled meeting, and she told members in that meeting to pray.
Iran calls its attacks a proportionate response to U.S. military action. It says it does not seek war.
It does not seek war, huh? Well, let's look at this, too. I have been seeing different indications about casualties. You know, one of the things that they mentioned right off the bat, there's no indication that any lives were lost. And there's been some mixed reports on this because originally CNN did a little breaking news thing and they said there were casualties among the Iraqis that were at that base. And then CNN later came back and said there was no casualties. I saw it. So there's a little bit of conflicting reports. We're not exactly sure. And there may be a reason for that. And this was part of a different CBS report.
There are no initial reports of casualties, but Pentagon officials are being tight-lipped in order not to give Iran any information about the success of its attack. As yet, the U.S.
says they're being tight-lipped because of that, and that makes sense. But man, no one can keep their mouth shut, it seems like, when Nancy Pelosi or one of the Democrats, they just want to leak all that information out there. So they have been informed, the politicians.
Lawmakers reacting to the attacks have questions.
Right now, we're in a defensive posture. What we don't know if this is the first of more than one wave.
I am questioning whether or not the Trump administration has a coherent strategy for what to do next.
Late Tuesday, President Trump was meeting with his top advisors at the White House.
Yeah. And the latest from President Trump was a tweet that came out an hour ago. It came out at 6:45. Well, that's not right. That must be a different time zone, but it was like right before 9 o'clock, so about 8:45 our time. And here's what the tweet said. All is well. Missiles launched from Iran, and the two military bases located in Iraq. Assessment of casualties and damages taking place now. So far, so good. We have the most powerful and well-equipped military anywhere in the world by far. I will be making a statement tomorrow morning. We know that they have to be meeting and discussing of what their reaction is going to be. They have to react in some way. The amount of force that they use in the reaction, if any, is going to be something that I think will determine the the atmosphere of how this Trump administration is going to handle conflicts with other countries. Are they going to look at being a tough talker but not walking the walk? Is that what we're going to see? They talk the talk but don't walk the walk? I think he may be afraid of that. Now, is the force going to be warranted, or is it going to be more than what has happened to us? So if there's no American casualties, are we going to go and cause something that's going to cause mass casualties from the Iranian side? I don't know. This is a lot of questions need to be answered, and that Twitter statement is not enough to answer it all. You know, President Trump, if you just happen to be listening and you're scanning through the radio dial tonight over in Washington, D.C., I'm sure you're talking to your advisors and being briefed on everything that's going on, but you're welcome to call into this program anytime. You know, it's funny because this statement came out as we were asking for a statement. So I would like to think every once in a while, out of just pure luck, the president decides to listen to this radio program. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe he only listens to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know. But we're going to keep an eye out for any developments that happen. There's just been a lot of speculation. There hasn't really been much of anything. President is still being briefed. CBS had one other note here.
We've had information from the White House this evening that the president has remained engaged and he's met with his national security team, the Secretary of State, his national security advisor, as well as the defense secretary. And we've heard publicly from the defense secretary and the Secretary of State earlier today. The defense secretary was very clear about the quality of the intelligence they had, and in his view, how it pointed to an imminent or very active plot targeting U.S. interests in the region.
Yeah, and they said we had warning. So this is telegraphed in some ways. You're able to use surveillance or satellites and tell they're moving certain people, certain places, equipment's coming here and there. They know that something's going on. They make it sound like the American soldiers that were at that base, they knew it was coming, so they were bunkered down. That's why there's no casualties. Wasn't a surprise. I don't know why they... If they would have known this was happening, why wouldn't they just strike the people that they knew were bringing the missiles over? Couldn't you just missile strike their missiles, knowing that they were traveling these things, and be done with it? Wouldn't that be... I don't know. I see there's so many other variables to this of why this was... Maybe what they knew, what they didn't know. I'm sure we'll find more out tomorrow. And I'm just curious, like anyone else, how are we going to react to it? What's going to be our response? There has to be a response. Up next, right after the break, we're going to check in with our friend Dave Scott. He's with Space Out Radio. He does a podcast. He's over in the Vancouver area. We've had him on many times on the show. When there's something paranormal, but ufology is a specialty. And there was a report that came out about an astronaut over in the UK that said aliens exist and could be here on Earth. Ooh. We're going to get his take on it on Overnight America KMOX.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
It makes me so depressed when I look up at the reports on Fox 2 and it says, projected snowfall Saturday. Aww! No! Thank you. Iran, Iraq, the United States reaction, and I just saw the email from our program director. Whenever the president makes a statement, we will air it live. It could be early tomorrow, it could be during the day, it could be midday, whatever it may be. It will be aired here on KMOX, so you're going to want to keep us on all day. Listen in the car, listen on your phone if you're out, keep an earbud in or something like that. If you're at work, you can listen to it on a radio, or you can go to like KMOX.com and listen live, the radio.com app. We will have that update. So you're not going to want to have to, you know, hear it secondhand. Oh, I can't believe I missed it. Listen to KMOX all day tomorrow. It's going to be an important day. Joining us now, a friend of the radio program. We haven't had him on in a little while, so I'm excited to catch up with him. His name is Dave Scott with Spaced Out Radio. Hello, Dave.
My friend, it's always good to talk aliens with you.
I know. When it comes to ufology, I saw the story, and I immediately thought of you. It's the astronaut over in the UK. Her name is Helen Sherman. She says aliens exist and could be here on Earth as we speak. Ooh. Now, that grabs some headlines. Now, have you studied into this when it comes to aliens living among us?
I got to tell you, my friend, they are everywhere. The aliens are everywhere. We just have to start giving them the secret handshake, and we'll be able to, you know, connect with them on a higher profound level.
Oh, wow. So, that? You know, it's like people go across and they walk by each other on the street and one person like takes their index finger and touches their nose and the other person does it too. That's like a hand signal to know that we're in the know. Is it like one of those deals? You just have to know the secret way in?
I think so.
Whoa.
I think so. You know, you just nailed it right there, my friend. You just nailed it.
So you say there could be a lot? There could be a lot of aliens living among us right now.
Why not? And I'm not saying that to sound or to be fickle or sarcastic, but we really don't know. Mm-hmm. We really don't know. I mean, the interesting part about this report, Ryan, is the fact that this isn't new. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a new voice saying that there's a good possibility that alien life is out there. But if you go back in the history books and you do a little research and you don't even have to look that hard, it's all over Google. Okay. There are a multitude of astronauts over the years that have come out and said that they have had ET contact while on the shuttle, while in the Gemini program, the Apollo program. It is absolutely everywhere out there. And it's just a matter of, I think, as the subject of UFOs has become a little bit more prevalent over the last couple of years, where we're now taking this story a little bit more seriously than we used to, that now when somebody like this astronaut in Britain, all right, Helen Sharman, when she comes out and says this, we're now listening with an open ear rather than with that snarky laugh that we used to give when somebody of any type of stature would come out and say something along these lines. So am I surprised? No. Am I happy about it? Absolutely. Because I think we all win in regards to that.
You know, if you were to try to trace back the idea of aliens living among us, is there like a certain time frame where this became a thought, you know, where this became like a thought exercise? Like, is there a genesis to this sort of understanding, or do you believe they've just always been there?
Personally, I believe they've always just been here. I mean, you go back and you look at some of the ancient aliens and artifacts that are in Egypt, and I've had a number of friends who've gone over to Egypt and other types of old ruins to take a look at some of this stuff. And, you know, they've seen firsthand where there is etchings and markings on tombs and on these poles that show, you know, what looks to be extraterrestrials on there. So, I mean, do we take that with a grain of salt, or do we move on with that and say, you know what, the evidence is right here that it's been here for a long time. We're just have been way too close-minded to even think about this sort of stuff that could be out there. I mean, look, it's only naive for any of us to think that in an infinite universe that we are the only living, breathing objects around. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Okay, have we made contact with another species? Are they going to look like us, or are they going to look like something out of a horror or science fiction movie? We don't know. But I think what we're doing is, as more people get brave and as more people in the know, like astronauts, okay, take that one step further to say, yes, I did see something, the more we're all going to benefit. I mean, but astronauts saying something in public is nothing new. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sixth man to walk on the moon, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, he believed in this phenomena so much that he actually started, before his passing, he started a group online called the Free Experiencers. Mm-hmm. These were for people to report their extraterrestrial contact and or abductions. He was a very big believer in this subject. He was a pioneer in this subject who had the pull to talk to people in Washington, D.C. about this and to keep people in the know. And he even did studies on this that people could take if they've had ET contact, and over 4,400 people took that study. And they all reported on, and the studies are free. You could go on online and check out the Free Experiencers. They're all right there for the numbers for the public to get. And, you know, 84% of the people said they had positive ET contact and they want it to happen again, which is a high number if this phenomena is going on. Now, can you tell if the people are true to their word or they're just wanting to be a part of something? That I don't know. I know people who are involved with it. They say the study is very real, and it's something that we should be looking into a little bit more, which undoubtedly makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So there's that movie from 1988 with Rowdy Roddy Piper, They Live. Have you seen that one?
You know what? I tried to stay away from Rowdy Roddy Piper movies because I really wanted him back in the wrestling ring. Even though he's a good Canadian kid like myself,
I still
wanted him back in the wrestling ring, you know, taking on the Iron Sheik or somebody like that.
Yeah, well, he had that movie where you would put on the glasses and he would be able to see aliens walking among us. So it's been depicted in pop culture. Are there any certain common beliefs among those in the ufology community when it comes to the ground rules of aliens living among us? Is there anything that's commonly believed that way?
It is so speculative. Yeah. I mean, there is certain things that are happening. The problem is that you have the people who have had real, true experiences. Then you have the bandwagon people who, say, have been a little strange, a little odd their entire lives, and they just want their 10 minutes of fame and recognition in the community. I mean, there's some great, great pieces of evidence out there. I think of a gentleman named Travis Walton. The movie Fire in the Sky was made about his experience with E.T. contact and being abducted for 5 days in Snowflake, Arizona, before being brought back. I think of a gentleman who's come out recently over the last couple of years named Chris Bledsoe, who has had an amazing E.T. experience that he has put out in a book. There's a gentleman out of Pascagoula named Calvin Parker, who has had documentaries made about his ET abduction while out fishing with his friends. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. There's all these little small pieces of evidence that seem to add up. It's whether or not we want to take them seriously as a society that we need to look at ourselves a little bit more to see if this phenomena is truly real or people are just having one vivid imagination with some sort of sci-fi dream. Mm. I tend to lean towards the fact through my own sightings and everything that I've seen, I tend to believe that there is something more out there because I've seen UFOs. I've seen them all hovering over my house, and it's not just me. It's with eyewitnesses, like friends hanging out, having a beer on my patio. And next thing you know, you look up and there's a black triangle hovering over your house. That's a little odd. That's a little weird.
Hey, where's Caspadula? What did you say that location was?
Pascagoula.
Pascagoula. Where's that at?
I'm Googling it for you right now.
Oh, there we go.
Pascagoula.
Oh, it's in Mississippi?
Mississippi, yes.
Oh, wow. That was a new location I learned about. That's all the way down in the Gulf. I mean, way down south. All right.
Yeah. I mean, Calvin Parker and his buddy Charles Hicks have, back in 1973, were fishing. Mm-hmm. Had a day off, went fishing. Who doesn't love to do that? I do. And next thing you know, they are pulled right out of their boat.
Just like that. You know, pop culture and news articles, websites, newspapers, they all love when someone comes out. Astronauts, they love it. They just salivate over this sort of thing. So who would have to come out, do you believe, would have to come out and profess their belief of this for the mass amount of people to finally say, okay, it's undeniable there's aliens in the United States or in the world that may be walking among us?
Well, the funny part about it is it's happened numerous times. I mean, it just happened, as we talked about previously, about a year ago now. Hard to believe it's been about a year, Ryan.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happened with the To the Stars Academy, mm-hmm. and that's Tom DeLonge's group, the former Blink-182 singer. It happened with his group and the videos that came out from the USS Nimitz case. And when you have credible people coming out, the problem, as I told our good friend Drex up in Vancouver...
Yes.
The problem that we are having here, my friend, is it's not the fact that there isn't enough information out there. It is the fact that the journalists out there, okay, are refusing to cover this story because they don't want the egg on their face that they think they are going to get. They don't want the embarrassment of being the UFO guy like famed George Knapp out of Las Vegas. They don't want that title. Okay, they think their job is more important than a UFO story or something along those lines that's going to make people mock them and laugh at them.
No,
until that stigma turns, okay, we're deadlocked. We are completely deadlocked on anything. The president of the United States could come out and say, aliens are here, aliens are real, and we're not going to know what we do with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly here, because I know we're always pressed for time. We could talk for hours on this. I want you to think, you and your audience, to think about this. Back in April of last year, hard to believe we're saying that already.
Yeah.
Okay, the Pentagon came out and said, we have been studying UFOs for years. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Nobody jumped on the story. Nobody asked about Roswell. Nobody asked about Kecksburg. Nobody asked about the Marfa lights. Nobody asked about the Brown Mountain lights, okay? Nobody asked about even E.T., whether or not he was going home or not. Nobody asked the questions. The Pentagon opened up. And what does the Pentagon do now? They came out and they have denied everything.
Mm.
Like,
really?
It doesn't even exist.
Oh, that's interesting.
They've never checked for aliens. And guess what? The media dropped the ball on that, too.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the fact that we've had them admit it, and then pull their famous denial act, all right, what more do we need? Well, we apparently need proof. How do you have proof? Well, it starts with the journalists who are supposed to do their job and cover a story, and we're not doing that very well when it comes to UFOs.
That's fascinating. All right, so you do a show every night. People can check it out online, space.radio.com. It's called space.radio, and they can listen to the podcast. They can connect with you on Twitter, social media is the best place to get all those links. Your website, space.radio.com.
That's right, my friend.
Pretty easy right there, space.radio. Now, I will challenge you on this one. The news does cover it, but it's normally they don't have a water skiing squirrel segment at the end of their newscast. They always try to, they throw like the, what they look as the soft ones. That's the only time they do cover it. But they would,
Where
they would do it. The water skiing squirrel segment.
My friend.
All right, so Dave
water
Scott.
Water skiing squirrels and aliens.
I'm so glad we had this talk, and it's good to talk to you again. We got to get you back on soon.
Brother, thank you so much, and all your listeners, Happy New Year. It's great to be back on the air on KMOX.
That's Dave Scott, our guest on the TDK Technologies guest line. His website, spacedoutradio.com. You can check out some of the previous episodes there. I'm sure if you enjoyed that and love topics like this, just scroll through some of his previous podcasts and find a topic that interests you and go and listen to it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Living among aliens. Ooh. You know, there was a documentary in 1993 about that. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. You know who's been holding on is George. Thanks for calling in to Overnight America.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's the miracle of radio. You know, I'm calling from Ontario, Canada, and I wanted to catch up on some of the news in the Middle East. So, you know, you get the bounce, and I can get American stations a lot better than local ones. And I figure you guys got a great story. Chicago faded out, and I kept channel surfing and came across yours. And St. Louis was coming in loud and clear. You got a great show. It's the first time I've ever listened to it.
Wow, cool.
But it is fantastic. I really appreciate it. And your guest just had one of my favorite topics on about Roswell as well. I didn't know that. I couldn't listen live here on the computer.
Uh-huh.
But that was one of the most profound books I ever read was The Day After Roswell.
Oh, yeah. And
make that very, very clear to people.
Yeah, he's well-versed in all of that. We bring him on whenever it's in the news, and he does a great job breaking it down. And we've spent the first couple of hours talking about Iran and Iraq and, you know, the military base in the United States. And, you know, you're coming at it from Ontario, Canada, and you're paying attention to this. Why, do you just pay attention to it because you're a neighboring country, or do you pay attention to it for other reasons?
Well, I'm a talk radio junkie. Always have been. And, you know, I do get the odd gig filling in for talk radio as well here and there when hosts have to take a sabbatical and such like that. So, you know, I'm just addicted to radio. Love it. It's the greatest invention we have, except for maybe the ones that came from the ETs, as they call them. But you know, what I've learned in studying that is there was a lot more than just Roswell. There were 74 similar types of events since 1897. And so this isn't the only unique thing. Different parts of the world, different times, different eras, different types of government. Like, you know, there was one in Nazi Germany, and they had their flying little saucer towards the end of the war and things like that. A lot of great technology came out of this. It was more like a Trojan horse than a crash, because Colonel Corso in his book said that the aliens weren't the bipedal creatures. It was the silicon fibers, the silicon that we use to build our computers, and that was the life form, a silicon-based form of life, and that this form of life wanted to take over the Earth, and we would spread it around like Ebola, and we have, and we built the World Wide Web, which is supposed to be our web, which is to capture us ultimately. So Colonel Corso died in 1998, but his book was just absolutely thrilling and chilling. I really enjoyed it. So if anybody's on the topic of you know, knowing about that, that's the one. And they buzzed the White House. It was called the Washington Merry-Go-Round, all the UFOs in the early 50s. And the biggest Pentagon conference since World War II happened after that. And the head of the United States Air Force at the time gave public statements on what happened. It's just amazing how we forget our history, even something that is supposed to be like just out of this world bizarre.
I've never heard of that.
After a generation goes by, well, that's, you know, it. We don't get taught these things. That's the beauty of radio. So you have the opportunity to educate everyone who's listening all around the world, wherever they tune in from, compliments of the World Wide Web, to step it up a couple of levels so that this information can get out, that we can share ideas and, you know, really make a difference in the world.
I love that term.
That's what's so important.
The Washington merry-go-round is an awesome term that you could use that for so many different things, and people just know what you mean. Wait, you're in Ontario.
Oh,
what
exactly.
Part of Ontario are you in where you do fill-in radio work?
Oh, no, I do it in the States.
Oh, cool. Which stations?
In Missouri.
Do you?
Believe it or not. Yeah, on Power Hour Nation.
Oh, that's cool. I'm not familiar with that, but where are they located out of?
Liberty, Missouri.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, do you do that out of your home? You just have like a studio set up?
Yep.
Oh, that's really cool.
I do it out of my home. We've been doing it for a long time. We'll be on Thursday, and hopefully there won't be a war to talk about, at least not a big one. Hate to see too many good people get killed for, you know, a lot of bad reasons. And the big bad reason is, like, I wasn't too happy with Donald Trump killing this Suleiman. Dad had an old saying, you know, maybe I used to call it stuff like that, like hillbilly logic, no smoking in the dynamite shed. And that just kind of sums up a lot of things. Easy to get into a fight. It's a whole lot harder to get out of one. So he was always big about thinking, reasoning before you resort to any kind of physical force. He'd always say, use your brain before you start flexing your biceps, because once you get into it, sometimes it's hard to get out. And the stupidest thing the Iranians could do was launch some half-hearted attack on American air bases, because you're kicking the dinosaur in the teeth. And he's just going to turn around and stomp you because he can't take the chance that you're going to do it again. So that was the most foolish thing they could have done.
Well, who knows what's going to be the reaction? I know they're trying to calculate whatever they're going to do next. And you never know. I mean, they could do something still.
Cooler heads prevail. You know, I love Americans. I don't like seeing Americans get buried, because you fight all these wars. You go to all these places. You lay down your lives. And then a lot of these countries, generations later or even shortly thereafter, just turn on you and bite on you. And one of the ones that really breaks my heart, because my grandfather fought in World War II, and you know, you go to France and they look at you like you're some kind of bad guy or something. You know how many acres of land are filled with dead Americans, dead Canadians, that, you know, you gave it all, your finest sons and daughters are buried there, and that these people don't. You go to Holland, they kiss your hand forever. If I went to Holland, because my grandfather fought in Holland, was wounded in Holland, you know, they find out he was a Canadian soldier. Like, everything's just looked after for me. They kiss my hand, even still after all these years, because you liberated them. But it seems Britain has forgotten a lot,
and they've been tough on the president, whether you like him or you don't like him, he's the president.
Yeah.
And he deserves respect for his office. And you don't bemoan him and treat him like he's some kind of alley tramp or something like that. He's the president of the United States.
You got a lot of phrases. You got the alley tramps kicking the dinosaur kicking you in the teeth. I like it. You got all these like...
Well, that's how you do radio. You got to keep people interested. You got to keep them excited so that they want to listen. I really like James. I was hearing him while I was driving home, and he was very eloquent and sincere, and the way he came across. I just love you, brother, if you're still listening. You did a great job getting your points across. Some people get angry and things like that, and it turns into an argument or something.
Yeah.
But, you were so sincere that, I just said, well, it's a shame I'm never down there to ever meet you and shake your hand because really liked what you had to say.
Well, George, I'm glad you're calling us all the way from Ontario, Canada. Very cool. Thank you for calling into the show.
I stay up just a little bit longer to give it a go. So bless you all down there, and hopefully we don't have to lose too many more brothers and sisters.
Yeah, we'll try. George, thank you very much for the call. Well, that's cool. All the way from Ontario, he's hanging out, listening to us, trying to figure out what radio signals he can reach where he's at, and he's not getting Chicago stations. He's getting us right here in St. Louis, Missouri on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
There was a documentary that came out in 1993 about aliens living among us. Pretty eye-opening, if I don't say so myself. Many people saw it in the theater. It starred Dan Aykroyd, Chris Farley. I think David Spade was in that one. I forgot some of the other actors and actresses.
They have come from the cold, far reaches of space.
Roger, TACOM.
Unidentified aircraft.
To conquer our world.
Request permission to fire.
And to enslave our people forevermore.
He's disappeared.
That is, until the Balsark hit the spinning Krynor.
Greetings. Azikot Techno-Industrial Complex, where I might obtain 2 or 3 subnuts of platinum paste.
This time of night, huh?
All right, big question for producer Mike. Can I ask you a question here real quick? You might hop on. The first question is, do you know what movie that is?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the movie Coneheads when it came out? You would have been pretty young, I guess, but have you seen it at some point?
Nope.
Never seen Coneheads.
You know the whole thing.
You know the gist of it? You have Dan Aykroyd, his wife, and they have a kid here on Earth. They got giant cone heads. They live in the planet Earth. And they grow to like it. Even though they were here to enslave, they grow to like it. If you had to guess on Rotten Tomatoes what the audience score was for this movie, there's some 200,000 ratings for it. They do a scale of 0% to 100%. 100% being a perfect movie, 0% being a terrible, worst movie ever. What percentage do you think they gave Coneheads?
73.
You think people liked it that much? It's 37%.
Oh, right numbers.
I remember it being a lot better than 37%. I remember it being pretty fun. I think I saw that in the theaters. I'd have been about 10. Yeah, that would have been like a PG movie, isn't it? It was an SNL skit for all those years. Dan Aykroyd. Chris Farley had a really good performance, and people forget that he was in that. He played the boyfriend of the one girl, and he was very good in it. Is there anything Chris Farley has done that wasn't hilarious? So 37% for Coneheads. Maybe that was the precursor. Maybe the Hollywood elite, they knew that there were aliens among us. Would you like to know what the code is? If there was an alien that was walking down the street, I think I would want to know what that secret handshake is. Or maybe not. Maybe it's better to not know. Ignorance is bliss. I haven't asked you. Are you an alien?
That's up for your interpretation.
Should I be worried? Up for my interpretation. Now, that is concerning to me. You could be an alien. Oh, no. What are we going to do about that? Aliens are right here in the studio. You ever wanted to ask an alien a question? Wouldn't that be kind of a cool topic? I wish we had an alien as a special guest. We can ask them questions. I did get an interview pitch for a psychic. And they said, your listeners can call in and ask the psychic questions. And I passed. I said, no, thanks. I'd rather have an alien on. I would love to hear what an alien thinks about all of this. We're going to get an update from CBS News. I wonder if they want to intervene from what's going on with Iraq, Iran, the United States, the missiles. And here's the very latest when it comes to all of that. We're kind of like at this point where nothing new has been released in the last couple of hours, and there's no indication that something new will be happening. This is a pretty good rundown.
Still no official report on casualties and damage. This following a ballistic missile attack by Iran aimed at two Iraqi air bases housing American troops. What will the U.S. do now? Here's CBS's David Martin.
The question really is the retaliatory strike going to be limited in scope to just the missile base, for instance, which fired these missiles, or is it going to be a much broader attack which goes after headquarters of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, for instance, since that is the military unit that launched these strikes.
On Capitol Hill, CBS's Natalie Brand.
Speaker Pelosi actually found out when she was handed a note during a regularly scheduled meeting, and she told members in that meeting to pray.
Iran calls its attacks a proportionate response to U.S. military action. It says it does not seek war.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Can you really trust them? I don't think so. You know, another bit of space news that happened. Astronomers have tracked down this repeating radio signal from across space. Pretty exciting when they find one of these things. They go really crazy. I mean, they throw a party. They put on the party hats. They call all their friends. They can't sleep at night. They are just way too excited. It's like a kid on Christmas morning. And according to Science Alert here, a mysterious repeating radio signal from space revealed last year is now the fifth fast radio burst that's been tracked back to its source. Astronomers are now having to rethink their previous assumptions about it. The origin of the repeating signal is in a spiral galaxy 500 million light years away from Earth, making it the closest known source that they've had so far. The closest source we've had that far. Fast radio bursts among the universe's strangest mysteries, they say in there. These are normally impossible to predict, and of course they're impossible. They don't know when these things, there's no indication. And sometimes when they catch them, it's like by accident, and they just don't know where to get it or how they'll ever find it or how they'll track it down. It's pretty hard. But really, in recent years, they've begun to find more because they've been putting more of a importance on it. The SETI organization and other places have found that using artificial intelligence and computers to be able to scan all the data that they've been recording into the skies have really helped them being able to find more of what they call these fast bursts. So I think we'll find more in the future. I don't think it'll amount to anything. They could be just a blip. I think I've played this in the past. They'll get excited over a fraction of a second of a blurst. It'll, like, let's say you think a regular communication with someone would last, you know, 15 seconds, and that's a lot of information. Imagine what, if we had the way to communicate with another alien civilization somewhere else, what 15 seconds would you want to communicate to get the most bang for your buck? Our fast radio bursts that we pick up are this fast. Are you ready? It was like that fast. You ready? I'll try to make it into a beep. I can't even beep fast enough. It's like that fast. You can't get any information from it. It says it has found that initiating from a dwarf galaxy poor in metals over 3 billion light years away, there's been some other fast bursts released from there. And they don't exactly know what they're going to do with this data. They don't know exactly what they're going to go. But, you know, it's at least they're pointing in the right direction. You know, when you have that antenna on your roof or you got the satellite dish, you got to point it in the right direction in order to get your signal. At least we know the right direction we can look at. 314-436-7900. We'll get an update from CBS News at the top of the hour. Alex Degman, an update local news there too. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.